be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm thankful to be with those of like precious faith. I'm thankful for the visitors that we have. And we appreciate you being here, and we hope that we make you feel welcome and that you'll want to come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. I'm thankful for the Word. As I mentioned in the Bible, so without the Word of God, we cannot know the way of truth. We cannot come to a knowledge of the truth and obey it and go to heaven when life is over. And so I'm thankful that, again, we can focus as we worship God in spirit and in truth on a portion of His Word. I appreciate the prayers that were led, and I appreciate the good song service. Did such a good job in singing those hymns, and Chris has always did an excellent job in leading those, and we appreciate the work that he does. I encourage you to take your Bible out, follow along with us, and make sure that what I say is right. If I've missed a mark, you let me know that. If I'm wrong about it, I'll make public correction of it from the pulpit. Never preach it again. That heaven would be my eternal home. They've got to be pleased in all things that we do. I got the title on the board, Where Are You Walking? As Ethan did a very good job in reading the scripture reading from the book of 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. He talks about in that passage about walking in darkness. We can either walk in the light or we can walk in darkness. I'd rather walk in the light, wouldn't you? And so there's places in which we can walk. And I'd like for us to think about some places in which Christians, God's people, the family of God, ought to walk. The phrase walk in is found in 79 verses in the King James Version of the Bible. We're not going to have 79 verses or points in the sermon this morning. But I want to point out about 8 places in which we ought to walk as God's people. And the first one I want you to think about is found in the book of Romans, chapter 4. And again, you take your Bible out, follow along with me, grab an outline from the back, and take notes as we think about places where we ought to be walking. In Romans chapter 4 and in verse 12, beginning with verse 11 rather, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised. Talking about Abraham. That righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in, now watch this for our first point, that walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. Do you ever think about walking in the faith that Abraham had? In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible, among so many other examples that is given to us, he talks about Abraham. In fact, when you come over to Hebrews chapter 11, and I always think about, I can't help but think about Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13 when I think about those people that the Bible catalogs that were faithful in Hebrews chapter 11, because after dealing with many of them, he talks about the fact that these all died in faith. They were faithful to what God expected them to do. And you see the action that they took, not just a mental assent, I believe God is real, I believe God exists, I believe Jesus died, and therefore that's okay, this side of the cross. And we do need to believe that, we understand that. But we are not saved by faith only. The Bible never teaches that. These people had faith that saved because they obeyed. They did, they put it to action when they were instructed of God to do something. You see an example of that in Hebrews 11 verse 4. By faith Abel offered. What did he do by faith? He offered. He moved. He did. By faith Noah, verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not as seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You get to the example of Abraham in verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, what's the next word? Obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned. Then these all died in faith, verse 13. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, verse 17. Walk in that faith of Abraham. Someone said, but preacher, I'm not a Jew. How can I be a recipient of what was promised to Abraham? Remember that threefold promise? I'll give you a land flowing with milk and honey. I'll make your seed as a multitude of the stars of heaven and as the sand of the sea. And through thy seed all nations of the earth will be blessed. The seed of Abraham by which we can be blessed is Jesus the Christ, Galatians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. I don't have to be an Old Testament Jew in order to be a recipient of the benefits of Christ Jesus. Paul points that out in Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 26, beginning, "For you are all the children of God." He's writing to Christians. "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." If you're not in Christ, you cannot be a child of God by faith. Then he points out how they got into Christ. You were baptized into Christ. Galatians 3 verse 27. And he sums that statement up, that thought up in verse 28, when he says, "And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and theirs according to the promise," verse 29. So when you obey, you're a Christian, you're a recipient of the promise that was made unto Abraham. You get the benefits of that. But you got to be faithful unto God and obey what God has instructed us to do. He's the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 8 and 9. So we need to walk in the steps of that faith. Be faithful unto God. But also in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 4, we touched on Romans chapter 6 in the Bible class, made a very good point about that. As they obeyed that form of doctrine that was delivered unto them, Romans 6 verses 16 through 18, but when an individual obeys, that is, when they are buried with Christ in the watery grave of baptism, the Bible points out in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 4 that you are raised to walk in newness of life, verse 5. Now notice that, verse 4 read, "Even so we also should walk in newness of life." I think many times folks who obey the gospel miss the point that they are not to walk as they used to walk. They think they just keep on doing what they used to do, watching the same things they used to watch, having the same filthy mouth that they used to have, going to the same awful places and doing the awful things that they used to do, instead of realizing I'm not the same person. I'm to walk in newness of life. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is," remember that? "He is a new creature." Some versions say a new creation. "All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new." Newness of life. And it's interesting, you make a study of the many times that the New Testament contrasts the old man with the new man. We're not to do and be as we used to be, but we're a new person, a new creature in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about that. Romans chapter 6 makes the distinction between the old and the new. And so we need to recognize, and we are to walk in newness of life. And then number 3 in Ephesians chapter 2. A lot of times when you study with folks, they want to point out Ephesians chapter 2. We have no problem with what that passage says whatsoever in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. We believe every word of it. "For by grace are we saved through faith." I believe every word of that, don't you? But many times folks want to stop there and fail to recognize the rest of it. "For we are saved by grace through faith." Grace is God's part. That's what He's done. And we've got to recognize that I've got a part. I've got to do something to receive the benefits of God's grace, which was demonstrated in the giving of the Son, whereby I can be saved, Titus 2, verses 10 and 11. "For we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." We've got to do good works. Be busy about doing good works. Do you recognize, as I pointed out in the past, you may have forgotten. If you did, I'll just remind you, that every time the phrase "good works" is used in the New Testament, it's always talking about on an individual level. Always it talks about individuals doing good works. "Let your good works be that others may see your good works," read, "and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That's an individual doing good works. As the Lord pointed out in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 16. Dorcas was full of good works, Acts 9, and in verse 36. 1 Timothy 5 and in verse 10, charge them that are rich that they be busy about doing good works. Chapter 6 and in verse 18 talks about those that are rich. The Word of God thoroughly furnishes us and equips us unto every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16. And so on and on, he talks about good works. I think that phrase is used about 16 times in the New Testament. And again, it's your works, my works, not works of righteousness. We're not saved by those. Titus talks about that. Not saved by boastful works, Ephesians chapter 2. We're not saved by works of the law, the book of Romans points out. We're not saved by works of the flesh. We're not saved by works of darkness, Galatians chapter 6 and Ephesians chapter 5. But we're saved by doing what God says to do, as we respond in obedience to the things that He has stated. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, I'll give you another point of which, as we think about places to walk, as Paul is writing to the church of Christ at Ephesus, he writes to them, he's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, beginning verse 1, he says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." Now what's this next point? "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Walk in love. I tell you, the world, and many times Christians have a distorted view of what love is all about. "I love you too much," they might say to their children. "I love you too much to discipline you. I love you too much to spank you. I love you too much to tell you the truth." And we might say that to other people. "I love you too much to hurt your feelings." Now the question is, do I love them enough to discipline? Do I love them enough to tell them the truth whereby they can be saved? Do I love them enough to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2? That's the question. Do I love them enough to teach them as I should, so they can grow up and be responsible and know the truth and not get swayed by the world? We have a distorted mind many times of love. "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 14, verse 15. Do we love Him enough to surrender in obedience to His will? Let's think about love. We're to love one another. The Bible over and over talks about that. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one toward another." John 13, 34 and 35. And our love is not just limited to the brethren. You have heard it said that you shall love those that are for you and hate your enemies. But He said, love your enemies. Bless them that despise you and wrongfully use you. Now listen, here's the point. "That you may be your children, the children of your Father, which is in heaven." And He sets the context for that and how God does for all, sending the rain and the sun and so forth. Verse 44, "Love your enemies." Or 43, "You've heard that it is said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." But God sends His Son on the just and the unjust, gives rain on the good and the bad. But His spiritual blessings, we understand, are limited to those that are in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. But we are to do good individually unto all men as we have opportunity, Galatians chapter 6 and then verse 10. Walk in love. But also as you think about walking in and places in which we are to walk, in Colossians chapter 4 and then verse 5, Paul, again, he's writing to a congregation, folks who had obeyed the gospel of Christ, and notice what he says in Colossians chapter 4 and then verse 5. "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." It's akin to a statement found in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 15. Walk in wisdom. Mind what we do. "If any man therefore lack wisdom," you know what the Bible says? "Let him ask God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. The context of that in James chapter 1, as he's talking about asking God for wisdom, is in the context of walking in trials and tribulations and difficulties. And if you lack wisdom on how to deal with that, ask God for wisdom. Study His Word. Many of the things, if not all of them, in fact, all the things that pertain to living a life that is pleasing to God is answered by "Thus saith the Lord." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 makes plain that He's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So if you want to know, then you need to study the Word of God. "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." You think wisdom is connected to understanding? "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Ephesians 5:17. So therefore, I need to study the Word of God. It's not going to be miraculously zapped into my heart. And yes, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is a knowing of facts. Wisdom is making an application of that which you know. Walk in wisdom. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, as Ethan did a very good job in reading in the scripture reading. In verse 6, as I pointed out to you, the fact that you can walk in darkness, notice what he says. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light," here's the contrast, "if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin." Walk in the light. In Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet," you know the rest of it, "and a light unto my path." The entrance of Thy word giveth light, it gives understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, verse 150. So God's word illuminates the way by which we can walk and eventually be with God for all eternity in heaven if we'll continually submit to it and obey it each and every day of our earthly pilgrimage. One more point as we talk about places to walk. In 3 John verse 4. 3 John verse 4, one chapter. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." It's akin to walking in the light. If we walk in the light, which is to walk in the Word of God, it's walking in truth. We have no fellowship with God if we don't walk in the light as He is in the light. We don't have fellowship with those of our precious faith if we don't walk in the light. By the way, if I'm not in fellowship with God, I can't be in fellowship with you. You see that point? Many brethren want to have fellowship with those who are not in fellowship with God, and that won't work. We have no fellowship with God. We have no fellowship with those of like precious faith. Before Pilate, Pilate asked the question of our Lord, "What is truth?" John 18, verse 36. How would you respond to that? If someone were to say, "Well, what is truth? I got to walk in truth," 3 John 4, "but tell me what truth is." I tell you, we live in a world that believes that absolute truth does not exist. The very second study, had one study with a gentleman, and the second one, just a few weeks back, as I sat down with him, to talk about the unity that God expects us to have, his words was, "The Bible does not bring unity." Now he followed that up by saying, "But a sword." Well, Jesus did say, "I did not come to send peace on the earth, but a sword, and a man's foe shall be they of his own house." Yes, many times the Word of God divides people among even the tightest of relationships because one will obey where the other one won't. But folks, we can be unified on a "Thus saith the Lord." In fact, we are demanded of God to be in unity, that they all may be one as we are one, the Lord prayed in John 17, verses 20 and 21. Have the unity, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace, Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 and in verse 3. But what is truth, as Pilate asks? Here's the answer. John 17, 17, when the Lord was praying to the Father, "Father, sanctify them through Thy truth." Watch it. "Thy word is truth. Truth is not what I think. Truth is not what I feel. Truth is not what some experience that I experience. Truth is not how I feel about it. Truth is not established by how I was raised. Truth is not established by what my wife or your husband does or what your children do. Truth is established by the Word of God. You agree? Places to walk. I hope the lesson's been of value to you. How are you in walking in these things? Should you be here this morning, not a Christian? Ladies and gentlemen, why not obey the gospel? And go to heaven, life is over. Surely you want to go to heaven, don't you? Shake or nod. I want to go. I don't see anybody doing this number. If you're saying I want to go to heaven, God's given you a beautiful opportunity this first day of the week to make preparation to go to heaven. To obey the gospel and become a child of God. We want you to do that. God wants you to do that. Christ wants you to do that. The Holy Spirit revealed the Word that you might be able to do that. Couldn't know without the Word. Preacher, what must I do to be saved? Same thing they did in the Bible. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. John 8, 24. Do you believe it? Will you repent of your sins? Change your mind about what you've been doing. Cut out your meanness and turn to God. Without which we'll perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess your faith in Christ before those present this morning like the Lord commanded. In Acts 10, 32, and like the eunuch did when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8, 36. And be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2, 38. Where the blood of Christ, not the water, the blood of Christ will wash away every sin you've ever committed. Revelation 1, 5. Raised to walk in newness of life, as we talked about, Romans 6. A member of the Church of Christ, the one body of the New Testament, Acts 2 and then verse 46. You may be here this morning, you say, Preacher, I have done that in the past, but along life's way, I began to be unfaithful. I turned my back on the Lord. I've not been living right. But like the prodigal son who left the father, realized that he had it better with the father and went back home, I want to come home. I want to once again be right with my father. What must I do? God's made provision for that. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. Acts 8. 1 John 1 verse 9. We have His assurance that He'll forgive us. Ladies and gentlemen, why delay? Make preparation to go to heaven right now.